Hello, and welcome to the presentation of the half-year results of TF1. For your information, today's presentation is recorded. I'll now give the floor to Nons Paolini, the TF1 CEO.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for having joined us for the presentation of our half-year results, which we shall comment together with Philippe Denery, and then we'll take, of course, we'll take your questions. The first half-year was marked by challenges in the economy, as you know, and on the audiovisual market, competition was fierce. After a rather disappointing first quarter for TF1, the second quarter is more satisfactory. The consolidated revenue remains down, but you will note, along with Philippe, that the operational performance is good, which shows our ability to respond to changes in the economic situation while adapting our model. Let's take a few moments looking at our ratings, which are, of course, the good news. Number one, TF1, on all of its free-to-air channels, had an excellent first half-year, greeted by the media. The group is number one on all targets, ahead of France Télévisions on 4 years and more, and its audience share is up 2% to 29%, while all our competitors are down outside Canal+, but they have a favorable comparison basis because they have acquired D8. And for women in charge of purchases, performance is just as good because our audience share is up 2% to 32.5%. Looking more carefully, the flagship channel TF1 is up 1% to 22.9%, and this is quite remarkable because TF1 is the only historic channel, apart from Arte, to have improved in the first half, and this was seen already back in September 2012. For the 4 years and more, TF1 is leader with 92% of evenings and has, on average, 6.3 million viewers in prime time. And the gap is increasing with the competitors. For 4 years and more, the gap was 11.3 points with M6. Now it's 12.4 points on feminine women's targets. The gap was 8 points. It's now 9.4. And for children, the gap was 10.5 points, and it's now 11.5. So this is, of course, not a result of chance. It's hard work and risks that were properly managed. So we gave our channels and our programs more attitude, humor, novelty, and we have major events and outstanding shows. You have some examples of this on the slide, and this strategy brought about successes in our ratings, especially for the 4 years and more, and on all advertising targets. And regarding novelty, we've tried all sorts of new things, as I said in previous talks, including on news, and we transformed the tribe to more than 80%. So with Unforgettable or Person of Interest, these are American series, No Limit or Falco, these are French dramas, Splash, Bienvenue chez nous, and 24 heures aux urgences for French entertainment, Au nom de la vérité, that's a new series. From daytime to peak, through access, all the windows generated new progress, generated new successes. And on the half-year, TF1 has recorded 23 shows with more than 8 million viewers, the only channel to have shows with more than 9 million viewers, nine times, indeed, two shows with more than 10 million viewers in what is a difficult context. And TF1 had 49 of the 50 best ratings of the half-year, and of course, all of these had viewers of more than 7 million viewers. Every day, we reach out to 31 to 32 million viewers on average cumulated ratings, with a peak of 37.5 million viewers on the half-year. And this is, of course, a major strength, which is, of course, a selling point for advertisers. In fact, our channel was appointed or was seen through a poll of TVNOTES 2013 amongst RTL viewers, the readers of 20s and readers of pure media,
they were seen as being this, TF1 was seen as being the channel of the year. Regarding TMC and NT1, we have a complementarity, and this is what we're trying to do. TF1 is doing well with 3.5% of ratings on 4 years and more, and 3.7% of women in charge of purchasing. It's the fifth national channel in terms of regularity of its performance, and our programming costs are down compared to competitors who are investing in a lot. TMC is the number one movie channel with 1.1 million viewers, and it has remained a leader on DTT for 4 seasons running. With the Cup of Confederations in FIFA in 2013, TMC showed that it was able to turn the broadcast into events, and in the half-final spin in Italy on 27 June, it had the best historic ratings for all DTT with 5.4% of all rating, of all audience shares, and we also broadcast the World Cup final the Junior World Cup, with a very good ratings there. NT1 is doing well, 2.1% of the 4 years or more, up 7% on the women in charge of purchases with 2.9% of audience share, up 7% on the 15 to 34 years old, and that's a great performance because it was done in times of high competition. Will, of course, strengthen the identity of these two channels, as we've said again and again. Regarding HD1, that's our very new, latest channel, it did extremely well because it went from strength to strength. Now it has 0.7% of ratings for women in charge of purchases. It had two of the best ratings of the six new channels, especially with the Gladiator, the movie, with as many as 458,000 viewers. So HD1 is doing well from the start. It is hitting the ground running, showing its know-how with this very relevant multi-channel offer, in a good positioning both as a drama channel. Regarding digital, we have been able to confirm our dynamism through two aspects. First, with the catch-up television. Indeed, MyTF1 is right behind the giants of this sector with almost 9 million single visitors and 11 million hours spent watching videos at end of May. And our strategy on social networks has become strengthened with MyTF1 Connect. This is Act 2 of the digital era. We are reinforcing our relationship with the audience. Connect is our second screen app, enables us to enrich the quality of televisual consumption with a connection enabling the viewers to have interactions, and so the viewers are also actors, as it were, with this interaction on this app. And you can see on the screen that television and the digital media are now going hand in hand, and this was our starting assumption back in 2008. And this new ecosystem created around TF1 presents exciting outlooks, and of course this has paid off because in half year one, H1, the revenue of ETF1 was as much as 54 million euros, up 7%, and the operational profit up 13 million, up 43%, which means the half-year profitability was a record 24.8%. And then we started the new site, MyTF1 News, with very encouraging results. And we also got a prize, the award for the best social responsibility television, which shows that we've made progress in this respect as well. Let's talk about the advertising market proper. The environment, as you know, is challenging and has been rather discouraging for advertising investment. And yet we had stable results for multimedia advertising. It was stable in H1 2012 compared to H1 2011. Some media are suffering, and television is up 2.5% over the year, with 1.2% for the historic channels and plus 10.8% for the DTT channels. But that particular improvement is based on the emergence of six new HD channels started in 2012. But without that, the growth, the gross improvement would be the same for DTT, that is 1.2%. But on the television market, you can see
that there is some improvement, but it is down in H1 2013 compared to H1 2012. Regarding our four free-to-air channels, advertising revenue was down 8.8% in the first half compared to H1 2012. In the first quarter, revenue was down 13%. As you know, the economic situation, the opportunistic attitude of advertisers has made a difference to our revenue, but we were able to adapt to this context, broadening our offer. And so you can see that the second quarter, Q2, went down less than Q1, only down 4.9%, and that meant we were able to adjust our sales policy. For TF1, we had to adjust our sales policy to the market by adopting a volume strategy that we started at the end Q1 2013 and getting the results in Q2. We saw that the number of hours sold was up and the load factors were better, but of course the price pressure is high and we can't be happy with that, even though we have to put this in the general context of supply and demand. Nonetheless, the performance of TF1 is not challenged by the advertisers, and we can say that the ratings are strong with very strong streams, and nobody is challenging that. The added value of the TF1 screen should be better sold on the peak hours and on certain windows when you have low added value. We have to meet the competition of DTT, and that's more difficult to compete. But access, we have high value added, so here we are attractive, but around the peak time, 8 o'clock news, we have less flexibility, so we have to adapt and be pragmatic and look at how to adapt our offer. This is what we are doing in our advertising agency. But in terms of content, now we've done quite well. TF1 Prod has continued its development, producing new programs for our four channels, free-to-air channels. TF1 Film Productions co-produces many as 13 films in H1, of which six got more than 1 million viewers, including Les Profs, which was the best performance for French films, with 3.8 million viewers. That is a million tickets sold. This was co-produced with TF1 DA and our partner UGC, and that's our greatest success for a French movie. We are very proud of this. For pay TV, Eurosport has confirmed its position on sport channels. In the first half, the revenue of Eurosport was down 2.4% and advertising revenue was down 9%. But this is not such bad news, because you have to remember we were up 21% in H1 2012 compared to 2011, up 52% in Q2 2012 compared to Q2 11, and this was because of Euro 2012, because some advertisers had taken positions ahead of the Olympic Games that they've done in previous Olympic Games. The operating margin for Eurosport has reached a record high of 23.8% in Q2 2013 compared to 18.4% in Q2 2012. It stands at 14% for H1 2013. Regarding our pay channels in France, of course, they've been affected by the economic situation and the increased competition from DTT, but all our brands have gained recognition, as you can see in CSA's surveys. And over the past 6 months, our relations with the Discovery have gained both in trust and in content, and we are delighted to work with such a broad-shouldered international partner. Regarding consumer products, the position is a more contrasted figure, not conducive to consumption. For TF1 Video, let me remind you that H1 2012 was favorably impacted by the success of Intouchable, both in terms of revenue and profits. After several years, several challenging years, we do see the positive results of our restructuring plans at TF1 Video in what is a recessive market. Teleshopping has suffered listless consumption, but is still investing in its development. The Teleshopping channel has its revenue down, 14%, because there's less orders as we are renewing the offer. But the sale in shops, in physical shops, is doing well. The concept was revisited, more like cash and carry, and so we have low costs and good profitability. TF1 Entreprise is enjoying new growth and dynamism and confirmed its profitability in all its businesses, licenses, music, shows or games. And regarding social responsibility of our company, we are still very much proactive, both in terms of diversity, working with handicapped workers, working with young talent through the TF1 Foundation. These are some of the initiatives we are very much committed to. You'll note that this approach has been recognized because the procurement division of TF1 got the Responsible Purchasers Trophy in the 2013 Purchasers Trophy Awards. And this, of course, is very encouraging for TF1 because we already signed the Inter-Enterprise Relations Charter, and we are also applying for the Responsible Suppliers Relations label. We are the only ones that have this label. Now I'll give the floor to Philip, and he'll tell you the results for this result.
Thank you very much, Nos, and good morning, everybody. I'm going to present the consolidated accounts for the TF1 Group at 30 June 2013. Could I remind you that all of the details of the accounts and the annexes are available in the half-yearly financial report on the www.group-tf1.fr website. I'm going to start the review of the accounts with a specific clarification of the second half-year 2013. At Q1 2013, the consolidated revenue of 566 million euros was down 10%. In Q2 2013, with 642 million euros, that drop is limited to 4.5%. The second quarter has therefore demonstrated the rapid response capacity of the group and its continuation of the process of adapting its model. The current operating profit was 13.5% in Q2 against 11.6% in Q2 2012. That is up 1.9 points. TF1 Group has therefore managed to increase its profitability in a context of declining income, in particular advertising revenue. As you will see on this slide, the adaptation of the model concerns all of the group's activities. All three operating segments in the group have managed to increase their current operating profit in the second quarter, even though their revenue has dropped. Therefore, for the second quarter, the current operating profit of the group is up 8.6 million euros, even though the consolidated revenue is down 30.2 million euros. Now, with regard to the first half year of 2013, the consolidated revenue is down 7.2% at 1.208 billion euros compared to 1.301 million euros last year. Revenue of the broadcasting and content sector is down 7% to 844.2 million euros, mainly because of the decline in advertising revenue for television over the half year. The revenue of the consumer products sector is down 16.1% for the half year, reaching a figure of 100.6 million euros. Teleshopping is down because of lackluster household consumption and a less favourable product mix in the first half of this year. For video, the revenue of the activity included, as Nolf has said, the success of the film Intouchable in the first half of 2012. Finally, the revenue for the pay TV sector is down 3.9% for S1 2013 as a result of the drop in advertising revenue, which is something I will come back to. The advertising revenue of the free-to-air channels is 728.4 million euros as at the end of June 2013, down 8.8% year-on-year. The drop was 13% for the first quarter and 4.9% for the second quarter. The advertising revenue of the other media in the broadcasting and content sector is up 5.8% as at the end of June, driven by digital advertising as well as the good performance of TF1 advertising with regard to third-party advertising, particularly on radio. Advertising revenue of the pay TV sector is 50.1 million euros in S1 2013. Advertising revenue of the Eurosport Group is down 8.7% year on year, that is 3.9 million euros. S1 2012 included revenue relating to major sporting major sporting events such as the Euro 2012 and the Olympic Games, as North has already said. For reference, advertising revenue of the Eurosport Group had increased 7.9 million euros between the first semester 2011 and the first semester 2012. Advertising revenue of the thematic channels in France is down 5 million euros in connection with a drop in the advertising market along with increased competition of the DTT channels. In total, advertising revenue of the group in S1 2013 is 820.2 million euros, that is down 8.5% compared to S1 2012. The drop was 12% in Q1 and a more limited decline of 5.5% in Q2. With regard to the programming costs of free-to-air channels of the group, the figure is 491.5 million euros as at the end of June 2012, down almost 20 million euros year on year. As a reminder, TF1 channel had broadcast 8 matches of the UEFA Euro 2012 during the second quarter of last year for a figure of 21.8 million euros. Therefore, excluding sporting events, programming costs in S1 2012 are virtually stable year on year. That is a remarkable performance at a time when we have launched a new channel. Reinforcing channel programming for TMC and NT1 and the launch of HD1 are offset by the savings achieved for TF1 channel. The main savings on programming costs in S1 were achieved on sports programs in connection with the end of the broadcasting contract for the Champions League and Formula One, as well as with regard to news, because, as a reminder, the legislative and presidential elections took place during S1 2012. The increase in programming costs for fiction and series is mainly connected with the launch of HD1, a channel which gives a lot of space to fiction, and also to reinforcing the programming for TMC and NT1 for the period. TF1 channel further has screened more films during S1 2013. As at the end of June 2013, the 93 million euro drop in consolidated revenue was partially offset, first of all, by the drop in programming costs, as I've just presented to you, also by the drop in other expenses, depreciation, amortization and provisions of 10 million euros, particularly through the drop in external expenses and personnel and staff costs. I would also remind you that other expenses of the first half of 2012 included a non-recurrent income of 20 million euros in connection with the finalisation of a tax claim with regard to the CNC. And that means that excluding programming costs, we have 37 million euros of savings on a like-for-like basis. In the first half of 2013, the current operating profit of the group was therefore 70.8 million euros, down 63 million euros. For reference, we had booked an operating loss of 15.7 million euros in the first quarter of 2013. The second quarter 2013 has seen operating profit increase by 8.6 million euros to reach 86.5 million euros, which is a margin of 13.5%, up 1.9 points year on year. Optimization of the cost base is one of the priorities of the group, and we have started to reap the fruit of that endeavor in the second quarter. With regard to optimization of the economic model, the group is continuing in line with its commitments to implement phase two of its optimization plan. Therefore, after achieving 7 million in savings in Q1, we have achieved 9 million euros of recurrent savings in Q2, stepping up the pace of implementation of the plan. In total, the group has already generated 31 million euros in recurrent savings out of the total commitment to achieve 85 million euros of savings by the end of 2014. Furthermore, in the face of a deteriorating economic climate, additional management efforts are being made within all of the group's structures. New measures have been implemented in order to achieve additional non-recurrent savings in phase two. In particular, this will be a drastic reduction in performance fees and the review of transport modes and accommodation, as well as outsourcing and the pooling of certain services. With regard to current operating profits per sector, particularly the sector of broadcasting and content has seen a drop of €62 million with the effect of the drop in revenue of its business. The current operating profit of the consumer products sector is down €5.1 million, mainly because of the home shopping activity of the channel Teleshopping, which has already been commented upon by Nantes. With regard to the current operating profit of the paid television sector, we see an increase of €3.4 million, with Eurosport significantly increasing its profitability, as Nantes has said. Our financial or net profit attributable to the group in S1 2013 is €42 million, little significant variation. For reference, non-recurrent financial income had been booked in S1 2012 with regard to TF1's equity interest in Group AB. The net cash situation shows a strong surplus of €166 million. It experienced a limited drop of €71 million since the 31st of December 2012, which includes the dividend payout of €117 million. For the period, the group has made cash management one of its priorities, and therefore the group has consumed €45 million less in Q2 2013 than it did in Q2 2012. The positive net cash situation is an asset for the group and should enable it to finance its development and to pay its shareholders. Our perception of 2013 is not altered by the results of Q2. The visibility remains low, the economic context and competition is still unstable. The group confirms its hypothetical figures for 2013 of €2.5 billion. Thank you for your attention.
Well, thank you, thank you, Philippe, I beg your pardon. So we could say that after a challenging first quarter, we're able to show resilience and adapt to the new economic and competitive situation. The numbers for Q2 show that we were able to respond quickly because we gained flexibility, which was, of course, our prime objective. This first half is, at the end of the day, rather satisfactory in terms of ratings for all of our free-to-air channels. We have confirmed our leadership. We're the only historic channel showing progress over 1 year. The audience shares of NT1 is up. HD1 has become the leading channels of the six new channels on the audiovisual scene, and TMC has confirmed its position as number five. In a universe with 25 channels, it's a remarkable performance for programming costs that are rather still under control. Another sort of satisfaction is the digital media. We showed dynamism with my TF1, which are a leader of replay on the internet. Connect at the beginning of the year made it possible for us to reach a new stage in our relationship with the audience, with a remarkable improvement in consumption and content. Our internet revenue and our internet ratings are up, and this has meant that profits are up as well. Our pay channels, our pay TV is also improving in terms of content and brand recognition. Eurosport has improved also its position, going from, as I said, strength to strength thanks to its cooperation with Discovery. So some of our B2C business has had contrasting results and performances, but our group remains mobilized to improve its cost base without degrading the quality of its programs. And then we've stepped up our efforts in optimizing costs in the second half of the second quarter and taken and made new savings to adapt to the situation. And so Q2 was displayed our group's ability to adapt. Revenue may be down in the second quarter, but the operating profit is up over the year, and our cash position is considerably improved. So our roadmap is clear. We have to still have high ratings, keeping our programming costs down. We've been working on this with our producers in a feeling, in a climate of mutual responsibility, but we also mobilized to step up our efforts to stimulate our revenue. Our advertising agencies must rethink their sales policy, going back, resuming the road to renewing with profit, especially in the high rating or high prime time windows. And of course, innovation was the driver of our successes. We're still working on all channels with these new activities.
And we have to run this company on a day-to-day basis as well. We have to look for new businesses, but we have to remember that profit margin is our number one priority, even more than revenue. And of course, this means rigorous management, rigorous control of our expenses. From the most insignificant expenses to the biggest one, we have to be careful and vigilant. And this is a challenge both in the short and the medium term. And all our staff are well aware of this. We have adapted our cost basis. This is a challenge we have to keep up to meet. A lot has been done, a lot remains to be done, but we will be able to improve our performances in the future if we keep up the good work. Let's take a look at what we've done over the past 5 years. The group has undergone major transformations. We have broadened our free-to-air offer. We have extended our television offer to new media. We have improved interactivity with the audience. We are offering a multimedia advertising agency. We have streamlined our non-core businesses, and we have started relationships with video, movies, and of course with paid television and productions. We were able to combine external and internal growth as well as partnerships. We were able to optimize costs and adapt our business model so as to resist economic challenges. And we are confident for the future. Thank you for your attention. And together with Philip, now we can take your questions. So the floor is yours.
Si vous souhaitez poser une question, veuillez appuyer sur la touche étoile.
Please press the star key if you have a question. If you have a telephone, make sure the mute button is not on, because if you want to speak, you have to be heard. Press star if you have a question, star followed by one. The first question is from Leafy Yang from Goldman Sachs. Hello, Philippe. Congratulations on your performance. You talked about savings. You said earlier on that you were trying to save as much as 35 million euros a year. You already saved 16. Are you still proposing to stick to that figure, or indeed do better than that? Regarding non-recurrent savings, could you give us numbers regarding these non-recurrent savings you propose to make this year? And then a second question about the advertising market. There's an improvement in Q2 compared to Q1, but this is for real? Is this really carried by certain sectors advertising more, or is it something else? And then what is your outlook on market shares for the months to come? What about your sales policy? I mean, your competitors are also trying hard, vying for this market. How do you propose to keep up this market share? Can you still propose these prices sustainably without all that competition?
Thank you for your questions. With regard to the savings, now, of the 35 million euros, we've already achieved 16, as you've said. Now, we are implementing our savings plan. We're determined to do so, and there's no reason to see us flag in that regard. With regard to the non-recurrent savings, you'll allow me not to answer the question. Please know that we are trying to achieve these non-recurrent savings. Turning now to the question of advertising. Now, obviously, in the second quarter, as I've said, it's the volume effect that has come into play. And we have reduced a certain amount of advertising space without deteriorating the audience, seeing a drop in ratings. Now, with regard to TF1, we are very attentive to ratings performances, which is a guarantee of providing better service to our viewers. Now, we still have a certain margin for manoeuvre, but we are managing the situation with great caution. Turning now to the policies that we're implementing, well, we are adapting to the market conditions. The market is very dynamic at the moment. We are remaining attentive and proactive, and you'll understand that we are not going to reveal our commercial initiatives and the ideas that we're going to be working on in coming months. So those are my answers. You've also talked about market share and ratings, audience share. Now, with regard to market share, for the time being, we are performing satisfactorily. We are going to be continuing to work to ensure that that continues. It is true that this is a market that is changing and that is extremely competitive. It is a market on which we need to continue to do a good work and to work closely with the advertisers.
Laurie Mason of Deutsche Bank, please go ahead.
Hi there, it's Laurie here from Deutsche. First question is just over advertising outlook in third quarter. If you could just give us some indications of what you've been seeing in third quarter, whether you've seen any marked improvements there. The second question is just on Discovery. Have you had any impact from Discovery Corporation on the cost base in the second quarter? And related to that as well, what were the HD launch costs in the second quarter? And then finally, third question, if Discovery do exercise their option to take majority control of pay TV and Eurosports at the end of 2014, would you look to reinvest the proceeds in new pay areas, or would you be happy for TF1 just to be an advertising-driven group? Thank you.
With regard to advertising over coming months, taking it in a generic sense, there won't be any particular improvement or deterioration. That's what we can say for the time being. Now, HD1, we have incorporated the cost of launch in our plans. HD1 draws particularly upon programs which are already in the inventory of TF1. Optimization of management of our programming costs comes into play here with regard to our four channels, and that is something we're going to continue working on because we can use the catalogue and the royalties entitlements of the TF1 stock in managing these channels. Now, the cost figure is very much in line with our expectations. Answering with regard to Discovery, well, we can talk about this again in 2015. For the time being, our relationship is one of great trust with Discovery, and we feel that this is very promising for the future. It's a market segment that is very worthwhile for us. And secondly, on the French market, we have a great deal of familiarity that we can bring to play in the relationship, and also the results that we're seeing from the relationship are very positive.
Okay.
Now, what impact can Discovery have with regard to our investments? Well, I don't have an answer to that at the moment, other than to say that, of course, we will be trying to find promising activities and continue to work to develop them. But then with regard to this sector, I'm going to keep my secrets under my hat.
Okay, so just to be clear here, HD1 launch costs, you're basically saying, were very, very low in the second quarter because most of the programming was already amortized. Is that correct? And just to follow up on that, you on that Discovery issue, can you see TF1 being just a free-to-air advertising group without pay TV?
Could you please repeat your first question? We didn't hear it very clearly.
Yes, I just wanted to confirm that you are saying that the HD launch costs in second quarter, the HD1 launch costs in second quarter were very small. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, the launch costs for HD1 are in line with what we had indicated. For the year, they will represent somewhere between 15 and 20 million euros. For S1, that cost is very much in line with that order of magnitude. And we would just add that part of that cost, of course, is connected to the fact that we are using some of our programs that were already in the TF1 inventory or in the inventory of the group as a whole. And that, of course, enables us to amortize the cost of HD1, which overall is a group cost, not just for the channel itself. With regard to Discovery, I'm not sure if I've understood the question properly, but I will try and answer. If Discovery takes a 51% stake and control, then our intention would be to retain the 49% stake. We're not going to leave the pay sector because we are a partner of Discovery. We're going to continue pay TV work in France, and we hope that with Discovery we'll be able to negotiate good distributors to continue with that activity.
Okay, thank you very much.
Adrien de Frontulaire from Exane. You have the floor, sir. Good morning, Nors. Good morning, Philippe. Good morning, everyone. I have two questions. Number one, about ETF1. Could you tell us why in the second quarter the top line of ETF1 is up, whereas the costs are down? The top line is not very much up, whereas the costs are very much down. That seems to be a contradiction. And can you tell us more about the short-term use of the cash you generated? Have you got more ideas about how to use the idea in view of the fact that you generated a bit of money by sending Eurosport to Discovery?
With regard to ETF1 for the second quarter, you'll know that part of ETF1 is connected to activity, and part of the revenue relates to digital advertising. Well, there is a seasonal effect, therefore, for the structure. And that explains the drop in costs and the relative increase over Q1. There's also the interactive dimension. But for Q2, the profitability of ETF1 is very good. The revenue for the whole of S1 is very good also. But there's the interactive aspect that comes into play also for Q2.
I can answer that for ETF1. The situation is an exciting position. We're going exactly according to plan, according to the roadmap. Our relation with the viewers and all this new interactivity through ETF1 Connect, this is only just starting. And as Philippe pointed out, of course, it all hangs on to the ecosystem. The way it works is that ETF1 produces programs that then are that are radiated over our 360 strategy, and so there may be some parts slowing down, but others will improve. But my TF1 on replay and the news is gaining strength all the time, and the profitability is quite remarkable for that kind of business. Regarding the way in which we propose to use our cash, well, we'll keep the cash for the time being, watch over it carefully until such time as new opportunities arise. But Philippe is the one who's sitting on the cash. Well, says Philippe,
as you have already heard from North, the priority today is to have a sound structure with visibility, low visibility in the market as a whole at the moment. So that's our first priority. But I would say that we have two second-level priorities. One of those is development. As North has said, obviously, with an ongoing view to profitability, and then also as another priority are shareholders. We are aware of the long-term outlook, having to optimize financial resources is part of that long-term view. We need to ensure that we continue to have enough cash to finance our activities. Thank you for those answers.
Thank you. A third question about your cost base. If I get it right, in H1, your costs are down 3% if you leave out the costs linked to Euro 2012. In the second half, you'll be generating 20 million euros in recurrent savings, plus these one-off savings that should continue. We have reason to believe that the cost base in H2 will be even further down than in H1. Is that right?
En fait.
Well, what I would say with regard to the second half, if you take the overall profitability of the group for the first half and then you look towards the second half ought to be better in terms of profitability, I mean. Now, we have achieved savings in regard to the programming costs with regard to sporting events and also the Champions League, which no longer will be felt in the second half of the year. So on a like-for-like basis, the recurrent savings will not be the same between the two halves. And secondly, with regard to the 20 million euros in non-recurrent savings, we have achieved 16 million in savings. And so the figures for the second half ought to be of a similar order of magnitude. So, yes, there will probably be an improvement of profitability in the second half compared to the second half. To the first half, and that is an objective that we hold dear, that we're working towards.
Thank you. Next question from Conor O'Shea from Kepler Chevron.
Hello, everybody. Again, congratulations on these on this good performance. I have a couple of questions regarding your programming costs, not including sporting events, all the channels have remained flat. Do you expect the same for the second half of the year, or do you think that the results, the performance will be down compared to H2 2012? Regarding the advertising policy or your sales policy in the advertising business, you talked about volumes rather than profits. I know you're reluctant to refer to your policies, but you are meeting fierce competition and you might well need to continue with these policies, especially in view of the regulations regarding prime-time advertising. So might you not have to continue that with that same sales policy in 2014? Regarding the second half of the year, Koh-Lanta was supposed to be broadcast in Q3. Will you have to have, new content because of the developments? Can you tell us about the effect on revenue and on programming costs, the fact that Koh-Lanta will not be replaced necessarily with less expensive content, but at least content that will bring more advertising revenue?
Well, we don't give guidance with regard to programming costs. As you'll know, that this is work that we do very diligently. You'll see that for the first half, we have managed all of that with the launch of HD1 as well. It's all under control, and the channel head has an ongoing task of managing programming costs for the best, also keeping an eye on audience share and ratings. So we do take this extremely seriously. Turning now to the question of volume, now you have the regulatory framework to take into account, and we have a margin for manoeuvre in this regard. And then it's also a matter of personal tactics. I'm not going to say more about it than that, because I'm not going to reveal what we're doing. You know the competitive environment we work in. But, of course, at the same time, the market is extremely volatile at the moment. You need to navigate that situation and make sure that you come through as well as possible. Now, you'll have seen a certain number of articles, a certain amount of commentary on whether new sectors will open up to televisual advertising. Well, I don't know if that will happen or not. Some of those segments involve sponsoring or cinema, but this is a debate. I'm not going to make any prophecies in this regard. I'm just saying that there is debate in the French sector. Turning to Koh-Lanta, Koh-Lanta doesn't have any impact in Europe. Now, first of all, I would remind you that in terms of ratings, Koh-Lanta was on air last year in Q2, and this year it is not. So you'll see a slight variation. You might say that the first quarter showed a better performance than the second quarter because Koh-Lanta was not on air. Now, it did have good ratings, but we have been achieving excellent ratings even without Koh-Lanta. With the new academic year starting, we have taken measures to compensate for the fact that that show will not be screened. Decisions have been made with regard to the programming. I have no personal concerns with regard to our ratings performance from that time onwards. Koh-Lanta is not a major issue for us. It might become a subject for debate in the future, but it's not for the time being. Thank you.
La question suivante vient.
The next question from Filippo Franco from JP Morgan. Good morning, everybody. I would like to join my colleagues in congratulating you on your performance. I like your page on your slide on page 24 with the cost cutting. This is pretty damn good. I'm not sure you'll stick just to 35 million. You might actually do better than that still. But I have a couple of questions. When I look at the performance and the revenue performance of M6 compared to yours, you have to note that there is a significant improvement in Q2. Nicolas was telling you that you were able to get to gain market shares, you were able to increase advertising volumes, but is it not the case that the market itself is stabilizing, if not improving? That's question number one. Number two, I find it intriguing that your internet revenue should be going down. How do you account for this? Because is it that investors are pulling out, or is this a matter of a gross compared to net revenue? And then you have these regulatory effects. Of course, in France, regulation goes against advertising revenue. Do you think there will be short-term improvement? Also, I don't know if you've noticed what you have in Britain or Germany, where there's more and more talks between challengers and telecom operators to pay for licensing costs for the main channel. Where do you stand with that? Is there anything going on that front in France?
Thank you for your questions, and thank you also for your kind words. With regard to M6 and TF1's relative performance, we are continuing to work on that. With regard to outlook, it seems to us that we're entering into a stable phase and there's not going to be any improvement or deterioration in the immediate future. With regard to a drop in internet revenue, now, I'm only going to omit a hypothetical explanation here. We are present on fairly traditional sites which escape the clutches of the giants like Google. It's possible that the results are slightly less glowing as a result, but that's only a theory. With regard to the regulatory framework, now there are no issues facing us in that regard. We're continuing to achieve satisfactory advertising revenue. Now, I am aware of your opinion of the French market in terms of those situations, but we're involved in an interesting debate on all of this with regard to obligations and the relationship between the producers and the distributors, the broadcasters. You need to bear in mind several things. Senator Plancard, a left-wing senator, has issued a report which casts a very severe eye on the current French regulatory framework and makes suggestions for the rebalancing of the relationship between producers and broadcasters, and suggests also that there could be a vertical integration process that might rectify the situation. Now, the World of Production was severely critical of that paper. A second mission has been launched now by the Minister for Culture, the Valais mission in June. A few days ago, through the rapporteur of that mission, we heard on progress, and there is an issue there with regard to which the French authorities are working hard. Now, I'm not being optimistic, I'm not going to make any predictions, but I can say that there is now an increasing awareness of the regulatory framework that applies to us. It applies particularly to TF1, the regulatory framework that imposes a great deal of rigidity in the way that the broadcasters can work. And I hope very much that it will lead to increasing flexibility in that regulatory model. That's really what I can say. Now, that mission ought to complete its work by the end of October, and no doubt decisions will be taken further down the track, no doubt interprofessional agreements or decrees, something of that nature. With regard to the idea that you dream of seeing us fund TF1 through distributors, I would say that that's an excellent idea, something we're seeing done around to the world.
Merci beaucoup.
Thank you and goodbye.
La question
suivante. Next question from Julien Hoche from Barclays. Julien Roch from Barclays. Good morning, Nons and Philippe. Congratulations on this performance. I have a couple of questions regarding costs. It's nice to have this arithmetic progression, 7 plus 9 in Q1, Q2 respectively, out of your 85 million. Can we bank on 11 plus 13 in Q3 and Q4? Question number two, could we have some idea about the additional measures? You were not very specific about the numbers. And question number three on Nance's comments about the Valais report, the Planta report regarding the cost of production, and what would the cost consequences be? Well, on the Valais mission, and then Philippe, who is the one tracking down all the savings you can make, the Valais report and the mission was to see whether we could revisit the system. And so this means talking with the unions of producers and broadcasters. And of course, now we're just putting our cards on the table. We are making suggestions for changes. I know for a fact that we will have opportunities to address the mission report in the fall, and the proposals will be made to revisit the way in which film production is financed in France. But of course, it means that broadcasters and producers will be able to work on a new basis. Regarding the costs, Philippe?
We said that our objective was 35 million euros in savings for the year. We've achieved 16 million so far, 19 million remaining for the second half of the year. Could I remind you that with regard to the recurrent savings, of course, what has already been done is going to continue to have effect. But there are also some complicated issues. Now, on the basis of what we've told you, we ought to achieve $19 million in saving for the second half of the year, which is virtually the equivalent of what has been achieved in terms of recurrent savings for Q2. Once again, you can see that there are two elements coming into play. There's the progressive increase of impact in productivity and also a drop in general expenses. Because when you have a recurrent savings, of course, the expenditure can't continue at the same rate. There are various reasons to believe that we will achieve our objective of $35 million savings for the year. And achieve that progressively, quarter by quarter.
What about these new measures? I mean, 35 is what you've got, but could you give us numbers on the additional steps?
Well, the non-recurrent savings. Now, with regard to the new measures we're implementing, of course, you can't. You have to be realistic. We're not going to give you any figures. We'd prefer to give you those figures when the savings have been achieved, rather than giving you broad, vague targets which would serve no purpose. We're going to do as much as we can this year to ensure that we achieve non-recurrent savings to our satisfaction. That is something that we'll need to look at the beginning of the academic year in the next quarter.
Merci.
La question suivante vient de Eric Rabery de CMCIC.
Next question from Eric Rabery from CMCIC.
Deux questions.
Hello, I have two questions. One on teleshopping. Can you tell us more about the ongoing restructuring? Does this mean there will be better performances in terms of revenue in H2 2013, or should we wait till 2014? Regarding the theme channels, you have negative numbers in operating numbers for the first half. I mean, are you going to try to cut costs on your theme channels? These are my two questions.
With regard to teleshopping, the situation is affected by the economic climate in operation in the first half. Now, the products are being renewed. That's been the phase of products are reaching the end of their lifespan and other new products being introduced and taking off. And, of course, the consumption patterns of the current economic situation have not been favourable, so I have to recognise that. Now, in terms of organisation and performance, teleshopping works well. It's really a situation whereby sales have been well down as a result of the current climate. We're going to be implementing a new concept of stores, which I think is going to be very promising in the future. We're not going to cover the French territory with stores. We're going to just have a few stores open. I think that will have a very positive impact. No concerns, therefore, with regard to teleshopping. It's just a product renewal phase that we need to go through, and it's not cropping up at the best possible time given the current economic circumstances. That's really what I would say. With regard to the thematic channels, the difficulty for such channels at the moment, for all operators, not just TF1, is the very strong competition on the advertising market for the thematic channels. Now, our thematic channels mostly are channels for which we have a very good level of control of expenditure and expenses. Now, the economic climate at the moment is difficult. We're working on the situation. Perhaps with Discovery we will be able to reinforce the circumstances of the thematic channels. We don't have any particular concerns in this regard either. Just bear in mind that the advertising market is not favourable for pay TV thematic channels at the moment.
Let me just add that if you look at the cost part of the thematic channels, the costs are well under control in Q2 compared to Q1. So there again, we were able to adapt to challenging conditions in the advertising market because of competition and other factors as well. Thank you. Once again, if you need to put a question, press star followed by one. The next question from Jérôme Boudin from Nexus, or Nexity, rather. Hello, a couple of questions. Number one, about the roadmap for the synergies between Eurosport and Discovery. When do you expect to find new broadcasting revenue in H2 2013 or next year? The second question regarding deregulation, should there be any change in the regulation? Would this more to do with investment requirements on the production, or will it be more to do with the rights of broadcasters on broadcasting companies?
Well, I would tend to say that we need to be ambitious in this regard. Concerning obligations, well, if that's not so much the issue that it poses the greatest challenge, because the identity of program is very useful to the channel. We have also excellent comedies. From that point of view, in the editorial policy, I think that we are doing things right. The issue is to better control the price and the cost issue, and that is work that we're doing at the moment with the producers, who are well aware of the situation. The second thing with regard to investment in production companies, well, that raises the matter of the relationship between dependent and independent. Two-thirds of our producers are independent at the moment and one-third are dependent. So it raises the issue of control and also the holding of equity interests in production companies. Our plan is not to invest in all production companies we work with. Now, opportunities can arise, of course, but how many or what the balance between dependent and independent producers will be will depend on our development plans. Now, basically, we'll look at opportunities as they arise in the future. Concerning Discovery, we created the joint venture, which is now in place, working on a number of different issues, working with distributors. Now, this is work in progress. I think you need to bear that in mind. It is new. Cultures are being blended, and we're very confident in the future of this joint venture. We are looking to see an increase in distribution income. It's well too early to make predictions in this regard, but I'd like to say that we're stronger working hand in hand, the two of us, than alone. And we're also a non-executive board member, so we have a non-executive board member on Eurosport. The other thing is that we're not... we don't have any particular expectations for revenue for this year. The first income will be next year. Now, we're hoping to see some improvements in margin in 2013. I can give you some examples. Now, does the partnership work both ways, as North says? In Asia, for example, we've decided to pool our efforts and work under the authority of a single manager, and that is somebody who comes from Eurosport. We're very happy about that. But it's a two-way relationship. We have Discovery participating in the development of Eurosport, and also Eurosport, perhaps modestly, but Eurosport contributing to the development of Discovery. So this is fully in line with what we had planned, and things have been working very well over the coming 6 months, or over the past 6 months. The impact for 2013 will be virtually nil, that being said.
We will now take our next question from Ashley Wallace of Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead.
Oh, hi. I was just wondering if you can clarify what you meant earlier with your comments regarding the ad market entering a stable phase. So no deterioration or improvement. Are you talking about the rate of decline relative to Q2, so down 5%?
No, la stabilisation.
Stabilisation, as we see it, is stabilisation compared to the first half of the year. With regard to Q2, the impact was a volume impact rather than a situation where volume was more favorable for Q2 than for Q1, but we think that the stabilization will occur for the second half of the year.
Yeah, bah écoutez, je crois qu'on a pu répondre à l'essentiel de...
Well, I believe we were able to take most of your questions. Let me thank you, first of all, for your kind attention, but I should like to thank those who were kind enough to congratulate us on our performance. This doesn't happen every day. By way of conclusion, let me just say that the first half of the year was outstanding in terms of ratings, but the financial performance was not very good in the first quarter, but much better in the second quarter. But what all this points to is the fact that we are very nimble, we are able to adapt very quickly in the face of fierce competition. So we are becoming nimbler by the day. There's still progress to make, but we've done quite well, especially regarding our operational profits. We've done well, especially in Q2. Regarding the advertising sales policy, this is again a challenging market. We still have to adapt, but we shouldn't rush things through. More haste often means less speed, and what we're concerned about is value. We do need to revisit, and we have revisited our business model. This has made for better economic performances, and we're still working on that. We will get another chance to talk this in the fall. In the meantime, enjoy the summer holidays and do watch TF1 and monitor our price share. Thank you for your attention. You may now disconnect.